Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Hi there, I'm Carol the Coach, and I am so happy to be with you on this Labor Day. You know, we had a show scheduled for tonight, and for some reason, it did not go off. So I'm going to play one of my most favorite shows on conflict. I hope this will take your life to the next level. And we'll catch you back for a live show next week.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people. Every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
You know, I love that promo because it really does finish up by saying, we own the power. We own the power to decide how we are going to perceive life and what we're going to do with it. Welcome. I'm Carol the Coach, and you are listening to Your Best Life. And this is a show all about increasing your skills so that you feel better about the cards that life has to deal you. And you know, I'm here to tell you that absolutely you have everything you need to make your life different. If you're unhappy, if you feel powerless, if you don't feel like you have enough control, if you feel inferior or inadequate, or maybe you actually feel pretty good about yourself, but you would just like to take your life to the next level, this is the show to listen to and tune in every Wednesday evening at 10 o'clock. Or, as you well know, you can always go to iTunes, put in Carol the Coach, and pick up Your Best Life, and it will automatically download it to your computer if you have iTunes on your computer. And let's face it, don't we all have iTunes on our computer? So I just really encourage you to use this time as an opportunity to create the kinds of things in your life that will make your life better. And tonight we're going to be talking about conflict. And conflict is not an easy topic to discuss. We've done it once before when I gave you the four tools of conflict. Well, in this situation, I'm going to be talking about how do you deal with conflict and what are some of the skills or strategies that you can actually utilize to face the conflict head on, express yourself, and then allow the conflict to draw you closer. And in actuality, conflict is a good thing. It clears the air. It clears your feelings. And it very much clarifies what's going on for you and the person that you're in conflict with. Now, there's no guarantee that the person you're in conflict with will be able to handle conflict in a mature and rational manner. But if you are rational, if you're handling it with maturity, and if you're looking at conflict as a positive thing as opposed to a negative thing, you're much more likely to learn and grow from it. And, as I've promised, in lots of situations actually feel closer to the person that you're having the conflict with. Now, most people are definitely uncomfortable dealing with conflict. And most women I know have a tendency to avoid conflict because they either fear being hurt or they fear hurting somebody else's feelings. And let's face it, nobody taught us how to deal with conflict in school. I mean, you were taught what not to do. You weren't to hit. You weren't to attack verbally. You weren't to talk behind somebody's back. But really, most teachers wanted to squelch conflict because it interfered with a normal school routine. And maybe in your family of origin, when there was conflict, your parents would just encourage you to get over it, get beyond it. Most parents didn't sit down and say, you know what, kids, this is how you deal with conflict. So let's take you back to your family of origin for a minute. There is no doubt that if you're having trouble with something in your life that has to do with conflict, it probably originated from your past. So let's take a look at the past for a second. And I want you to think about how you grew up and what your mother or father or caretaker told you about conflict. Did they feed you positive verbiage? Did they tell you that they knew you would be able to handle it when Susie was mad at you or when your brother had hit you? Did they walk you through what you needed to do? I would doubt it. And so think back to how you experienced conflict. You know, it may even have been first when you noticed that your parents were in conflict with each other. If your parents were together and if they didn't necessarily agree with each other, what did you notice about them? Were they able to talk it out? Did they have a cooling off period? Was there some verbal abuse, physical abuse? Was it scary? Were you scapegoated? Did you find that mom and dad were mad at each other, but they took it out on you? Did you shrink and become invisible so that you wouldn't rock the boat and you wouldn't cause any disturbance that would create additional conflict? You know, so many kids knew not what to do in their lives, and as a result, because they didn't know what to do, they very quickly learned to disappear, to become small, and so that they would not have to deal with the conflict. So think back. Think back to a time when somebody was angry with you. Now, do you remember your parents ever really reassuring you and saying to you, you know what, if your teacher's angry with you and you try to work it out with him or her and they continue to be angry, you need to stop giving them the power to make you feel insignificant? In other words, did your family of origin teach you that you owned the power to decide how things were going to affect you? Again, probably not. You know, I spend so much of my time in therapy grooming my clients to become stronger. And I encourage them to realize their inner strengths, to take risks, and, you know, just basically to believe in themselves. And then that special tool I give which I hope they'll apply in every aspect of their life, but especially when it comes to conflict, is I ask them to stop giving people so much power. And when you empower yourself not to be held emotionally hostage from somebody's anger, you then become less fearful and recognize that you really can handle the problem. If you are thinking about your own personal conflict and want to call in, the number to call in to talk with me directly is 760-683-2646. Again, that's 760-683-2646. It's an important time in your life to get personal psychotherapy and life coaching free of charge just by calling into the show. So don't hold back. Feel free to give me a call. And let's talk about the conflict that you perhaps endured as a child or maybe even are enduring as an adult. Now, most clients have trouble knowing what their own personal gifts and talents are. And they grew up not feeling good enough in their past. And I'll tell you, this will usually translate into not feeling good enough as an adult. Now, you may know on an intellectual level that you're worthy, but on an emotional level, you don't seem to be able to get past that early childhood imprinting. Now, to offset this, I'll often ask a client to write the statement down and then, of course, to repeat it. I won't give blank the power to make me feel blank. And this statement can be applied to any situation in which one feels inferiority or abandonment, rejection, isolation, or conflict. You know, take the boss who never seems to appreciate your efforts or your hard work. You know, most people have experienced somebody who was in an authoritative position, a supervisor, a boss, a parent, and that person never seemed satisfied with their work. I personally had an administrator. He was an assistant superintendent of a school system that I worked, and he was very military, very nice guy, very clear and direct and very matter-of-fact. And he never said anything about my skills. He never complimented me. He wasn't necessarily conflictual, but there was never any positive feedback. And one day, as he was supervising me, I actually stopped him and said, hey, would it be possible for you to start a meeting off with a compliment? Or would you be willing to praise my efforts as a counselor? And I got to tell you, it was one of those deers in the headlight looks. You know, he just looked at me with bewilderment. He didn't even really understand what I was asking because it wasn't in his repertoire to compliment me or to send me positive messages. Now, his lack of encouragement was not about me, and I knew that. It was about his inability to be positive and to give positive feedback. So I didn't give him the power to make me feel inferior. You know, and after I chose not to give him the power, my next step was to take it that next level and do a fearless inventory of what the behavior reminded me of from my own past. And that's what you'll find as an adult when you're dealing with people. If somebody gets angry with you a lot or if they don't give you a lot of positives, I guarantee you there is somebody from your past who has manifested that exact same behavior. Now, my parents loved me greatly, but neither of them were any good at telling me that I did a great job. And we all know that as kids, we all need encouraging words, especially when they're praising our behaviors, not us as people. So I grew up as a result. I grew up never really knowing if I was doing it right or doing it good enough. And it became a core issue for me. And through my own therapy, both group and individual, and through a lot of self-help and a lot of self-exploration, I realized what my personality strengths were, and I realized what I was good at, and I owe that. Just was talking to a man today, and he said, you know, we were not allowed to comment about our positive strengths. That was seen as arrogant in our household, and that would actually be seen as a bad thing. And so, Carol, as you talk to me about what I like about myself, not only is it completely foreign, but it feels wrong and it feels bad because you aren't supposed to toot your own horn, which is exactly the opposite of what I say. I say you can toot your own horn if you're talking to yourself. And that it's important to give yourself positive messages because the world isn't necessarily going to do that. And you've got to be not your own very best critic, but your own very best cheerleader or encourager. So think back as you were a kid to what kind of feedback you got as a kid. And know that when somebody in your life is being critical today, you have actually created that person in your life to work out this problem as an adult because you couldn't work it out as a kid. You know, you just had to deal with whatever was handed to you. So what I knew was that my boss was a mirror for how I grew up. And we psychologists and psychotherapists know that we continue to pick people who manifest these same core issues until we work through them. Therefore, it's not unusual at all for us to work with people, marry people, and associate with people who relate to us as our parents did. That gives us plenty of opportunities to work out the core issues and plenty of opportunities to reparent ourselves. And so the next time you find yourself fearing something, inferiority, rejection, abandonment, isolation, ask yourself how the situation mirrors a childhood issue. I want you to connect the present situation to your past and then step out of the past by saying, I won't give blank the power to make me feel blank. And when you do this faithfully, you feel better about yourself. You handle conflict a lot better. You stay connected to your power. And I guarantee you, the more you do this, the more likely you are to choose healthier situations in the future. Now, this practice requires that you go deep, but the emotional reward is well worth it. And, of course, that's because you're worth it. And I truly believe in life that we are creatures that are meant to evolve, to grow stronger, and then to encourage others to grow stronger too. Now let's get right into the conflict. Clearly, I said that, you know, people are not comfortable with conflict. As a matter of fact, they fear it. And earlier I said they fear it because they're afraid of hurting somebody else's feelings or they're afraid of being hurt. And that's not unusual. So I'm going to ask you, how do you handle conflict? Now, we've already mentioned that you were likely not taught specific techniques that would help you identify and work through it. And so you may not know how to approach, process, and resolve conflict. So I have some guidelines that I recommend. And, you know, ask parents to use it with their kids, and I ask couples to use it with each other, and I ask groups to do it in group therapy. And so I want you to think back to a disagreement that you've encountered with someone and assess how well you approached the conflict. Let's pretend that you're angry with somebody. What do you do? Well, it's important for you to take time to cool down and share your feelings in a calm and direct manner. Good emotional maturity means that you recognize that you're feeling angry. You don't squelch it. You actually identify it. You think about it. You may talk about it. Or you may just feel it. But you give it some time to settle. And then once you've cooled down, you do share your feelings in a calm and direct manner. You've heard me say it before. When you're assertive, it means you're clear and direct about what you feel, how you, what you believe, and what you know. And then you decide. Well, you may not decide, but you suggest a time to talk with the person about the difference. Now, some people are more comfortable in public places, while others prefer a private site. But when possible, discuss the situation and own your contribution to the conflict. If you've contributed to the problem, and I guarantee you have, it can be empowering to admit up front that you made some bad decisions. And so not only are you being a good role model, which is always, I think, a very powerful position, but you also decrease the defensiveness that naturally occurs when a disagreement evolves. So again, start the conversation with, you know, I know you were really I know I've been really angry with you, and I must admit that it hasn't been fair that I haven't shared it with you. And I 100% own that. And I own that maybe I don't deal with conflict very well. And by holding back, I haven't been honest with you, which makes me less authentic, and it makes me distant from you, and it makes me contribute to the conflict and the tension that we've been feeling. And then do your very best just to describe in a matter-of-fact way the events and your feelings, and then take a break. And you may even have to imagine that you're being insulated at that point, because at that point you're going to welcome somebody else's feedback to you. I really encourage people to mirror back exactly what they heard without sharing their impressions. So maybe the other person says, yeah, you know, you've been really tough to live with lately, and you have been so snappy and grouchy, and I just haven't appreciated that you've been so angry and you haven't been talking about it. And then that would mean that I, the angry person, would repeat back, well, you know, I heard you say, and this is the mirroring part, I heard you say that, you know, I've been grouchy and grumpy and keeping my distance, and it's really been difficult for you because you could tell I was angry and you didn't know exactly what was going on. So I repeat back what I heard. And when you do that, you're less likely to give your opinion. You're more interested in letting the other person know that they were heard. So mirroring is a very powerful technique that makes a big difference in any kind of fighting fair scenario. And whenever possible, I want you to, you know, do that with the other person. No need to get defensive. As a matter of fact, you might really, really work diligently not to become defensive. Now, there's another important thing. When you're angry, it's important for you not to pull in what other people think. And that can be so tempting. It can be 100% tempting to tell the other person that others agree with you and that you've been told you're right, and almost as if to make the other person feel like it's a gang war. There are other people that are against them. So you fighting fair means you never want to bring somebody else into it. You don't want to bring your brother into it, your mother. You don't necessarily want to reinforce your point by saying, yeah, even Mary, our best friend, feels like you've been a bitch to me. You want to really own your own issues, do that non-defensively, and then not in any way, shape, or form pull somebody into it. And I don't know you, but a lot of times that can happen. I can 100% want to make my point by pulling somebody in. So don't do that. Now, you have to really examine your motives. So if you feel like attacking the other person, or if you feel like dealing with three or four issues that have made you angry at the same, you know, right there and then, that's not fighting fair, because you really need to keep your issues down to one primary concern. You don't want to overflood or overwhelm the other person. You want to stay very focused on the issue, and you don't want to bring up the past or bombard the person with past mistakes, because you know what? Probably you've already discussed it, and two, there isn't really anything that person can do about it. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, but Carol, I'm telling you, a lot of times I wait weeks, months, maybe even years before I bring up conflict. Well, then I think that's a different issue, and then you've really got to set the stage by saying, you know, there's something I'm really upset about, but believe it or not, it happened over a year ago, and I know there's nothing that you can really do about it. And I'm really only telling you because I so badly want to release and let go of this anger. So you got to decide how you're going to set the stage. Now, how do you handle it when somebody's angry with you? Well, you obviously have no control as to how they approach you. As with any situation, the only thing you can control is your own reaction. And so, of course, that situation is a little bit scarier because there is less control. So take a few deep breaths. And I'm going to want you to reflect back what you've heard. And not even necessarily feel like you have to defend yourself. But to, in actuality, repeat back what you've heard and do it with empathy. You know, as they confront you, allow them to voice their concerns. And if the discussion gets heated, if somebody starts to cry, if somebody starts to verbally attack you, you may be able to diffuse it by reflecting what is being said, so that the other person knows that he or she is being heard. You know, it can be very helpful and strategic to admit your faults before explaining your position. I remember once that my husband and I were on a boat with another couple, and he really didn't want to go on this boat ride. This other guy, he drank too much, and That was his MO. We didn't see them very much, but I'm not his therapist, but I certainly thought he was an alcoholic. And he started making fun of my husband. And I kind of ignored it. I minimized it because I was uncomfortable with it. So when we got off that boat, even a couple days later when we got home because we were in another state, my husband came to me, and he was so furious that I had put him in that position, and he was furious that I hadn't stood up for him, and I hadn't set some boundaries. Now, deep down inside, I don't really know that it was my place to stand up for him, but clearly I could have said, you know, Jim and Pam, it's time for you to take us home. I mean, I could have set that kind of a boundary. But what I did is he shared with me how he felt from the get-go, and he was furious. And in actuality, I really thought he was overreacting. But regardless, I said, you know, honey, I said four things to him that were excellent at diffusing his anger. I said, you know what, honey, you are right. I am so very wrong. I am sorry, and I love you. And I said that to him, and I meant every part of that apology. Now, you just heard me saying that I didn't necessarily agree with him in terms of all the points he was making of things that I should have done. But the bottom line was he was right, that this situation had been very upsetting to him. And I was sorry. I was sorry that he had to go through it. I was sorry that I was there and a part of it. And I was sorry that there was nothing I could do to stop it. So I said, you know, you're right. I was wrong. And when I said I was wrong, I really did mean that, because I was wrong not to set those boundaries. They may not have been the boundaries he wanted me to set, but as I indicated, I could have done something to send a message that this was inappropriate. And then when I sealed the deal by reminding him how much I loved him, it diffused his anger towards me. All four of those statements did. Because what else could he say? He didn't have to hammer the point for a half hour. I got it. I knew. And there was just very little argument at that point. We really understood each other. And so you got to know the person that you're talking to. Reflect back what you hear them saying. And not even necessarily explain yourself. Too often, as people defend themselves, they forget to own their part of the conflict. So it really is helpful to use those four statements. And, you know, remind yourself that life is trial and error, and that you're entitled to make mistakes. Regardless of who might be at fault, it's important to handle conflict with integrity. And the most important key to life is learning from the incident so that you don't repeat it in the future. And so I'm here to tell you that if you've learned something from it and you've dealt with it in a mature way, you will probably end up feeling closer to the person who's mad at you, because you'll be able to see and feel their pain. And it's all how we perceive people. I mean, I am not telling you that you need to put up with somebody's abuse, their verbal attacks. But I am saying that, you know, if somebody's really angry and they are spewing anger, if you can imagine them in a different way than what you see right up front, it may really make a difference in not only how you react to them, but also in how you view them as a person. I'll give you a little example. Stephen Covey tells this story of a man on a subway who got on the subway with his kids, and he just didn't even seem to give a care about them. He was short with them. He seemed really distant. He was hunched over. He wasn't paying attention. He really seemed like he was in conflict with something and that his kids were the scapegoats. And these kids were all being obnoxious on the subway. And so Stephen walked up to him and said, "Sir, you know, I don't know if you're aware of it, but your kids are playing around and they're aggravating other people, and you just seem to be so disconnected. And I just thought, you know, I'd let you know that, you know, somebody needs to kind of take charge here." And the man said, "You know, I am so sorry. We just got back from the hospital, and we're actually heading home, and we're all pretty upset. My wife died today. Their mother died. And so I'm just kind of letting them do their own thing. I'm numb. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. I'm sorry, I'm not on top of things." Well, Stephen's immediate response was so different now that he knew how this man was hurting and how he was grieving. And Stephen had immediate compassion for this man. Here he was sitting there frustrated and angry and being judgmental and thinking this guy was just out of control because he was letting his kids be out of control and not paying any attention, and really saw the parent as being neglectful. And then when he got that information, that this man was beside himself and was probably doing everything he could just to hold it together, it totally changed Stephen's perception. Now, if you can look at people who are angry with you and put them in a light whereby there may be something going on that is way deeper than the conflict that they're expressing, it oftentimes will allow you to insulate yourself from the anger and also not to react or be as affected by it. And so that's always very important to do, especially if you're dealing with a loved one. You know, me knowing that my military boss was not going to do anything different, that that's just how he was raised and he didn't have it in him, allowed me not to take things personally and also allowed me to view him as actually a pretty doggone good boss who just didn't have that to give. Okay, so now, when we come back, I'm going to want you to think about some conflict that you've been experiencing, and we're going to talk about some other techniques that you may find helpful. And should you want to call in, that number is 760-683-2646. This is Your Best Life, and I'm Carol the Coach.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people. Every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
That's right. You're listening to Your Best Life with Carol the Coach, and I'm Carol Jorgensen Sheets. And if you want more information on conflict, you got to go to my website, www.carolthecoach.com, and access over 500 free columns and articles on different subject matter that helps to improve your life. And you can always email me at carolthecoach@AOL.com. Now, I asked you to think about, you know, who taught you how to argue, who taught you how not to get defensive, who taught you about conflict. And I asked you to think about a time that you actually felt conflict. And there's three other main ground rules that helps you when you are feeling conflictual. And when you and somebody are in disagreement, it's important to encourage a conflict and healthy resolution. And so what you really want to do is follow these three rules. When you're in conflict, I want you to listen more than defend or explain or communicate. Okay, so spend more time listening than talking. Use that mirroring technique to let the person know that you're hearing what they're upset about. Then the second thing you want to do, whether they're angry with you or you're angry with them, you still want to validate the other person's feelings. I just had some conflicts with a coworker, and I'm here to say that, you know, she's never really liked me, and as a result, I've never really liked her. I don't dislike her, but I've never really liked her. And my boss asked us to kind of work things out. And actually, she came to me and said, you know, what's up? This woman is mad at you, and what's going on? And so I kind of shared my perspective, and it was more than a disagreement about perspectives. It was he said, she said, you know. I remember having an issue, and we worked it out in a certain way, and she didn't remember that. And it was over Christmas vacations. And 2 years ago, she had been very upset because I got my time. You know, I got to take the time that I wanted for Christmas. And so last year, I gave her her time. You know, when it came time to talk about who was going to leave when, I said, you know what, you get to pick this year. I thought I was being pretty emotionally mature. Well, this year came around, and she didn't remember that I had offered and that she had gotten to choose first. And in all fairness to her, because she didn't remember and she had picked, there are two favorite weeks, you know, the week before Christmas and the week after. And in her mind, the week after was the preferred week. But because she had picked the week before, and she clearly had picked the week before Christmas last year, that was her evidence and proof that I had not given her the time, that indeed I had gotten the time, the good time, again last year, and by gosh, she was going to pick the good time this year. Now, there's a situation where it's tit for tat. I can't convince her of anything. I mean, I have to admit, I did say, you know, don't you remember we blah, 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 and don't you remember blah, 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 blah. But it became real clear that she didn't. And so to continue with that strategy was not going to be helpful. So when my boss came to me and said, you know, what's going on? And I said, oh, yeah, and, you know, remember I was really upset because she wouldn't pick a week. And I was giving her that option, and she made me wait. And, well, my boss did remember that. So I felt somewhat vindicated that I wasn't crazy, but I knew I wasn't crazy. But more importantly, my boss wanted us to work it out. You know, we're two grown adults, and we should be able to work it out. So I said, okay, well, I'll talk with her, and if we can't get it worked out, we'll come to you. She said, great. I really don't want to be included unless you really need me. So somehow, some way, this woman went to, my boss went to this woman, and this woman basically said, I don't want to talk to Carol on my own. I want you to be there. And then my boss comes back to me and says, okay, we can't. She doesn't want you to work this out with her just by herself. I've got to be there. I said, that's fine, you know. And, you know, I kind of felt sorry for her because I felt like, wow, she feels like she needs an intermediary. And knowing that, it really helped me to go easy, to not really see myself as a victim or her as a villain, but to understand that she was really operating from a place of insecurity. Okay, that's what I want you to be able to do with confidence. And I got to tell you, when you change how you perceive conflict, the things around you change. So if you want more information about the four tools of conflict, feel free to email me at carolthecoach@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you a little something on how to do this process and change how you view conflict and change how you view yourself. All right, you've been listening to another replay of Carol the Coach, and I want you to have a happy Labor Day. Again, I so appreciate you listening, and we'll be back to regular programming next Monday night for Sex Help with Carol the Coach. So have a great week, and remember, there'll only be one of you at all times, so fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. Talk to you soon.